brothers and sisters, I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Over this next week or two, we celebrated Pentecost on June 4th, but I want to take some time in these 2 weeks. This season is so rich in great feasts, the solemnity of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, which we just celebrated, the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. There's just so many, many feasts at this time. But I want to go back for a moment and just say to you the greatest of gifts in the sense of enabling you to grow in faith and hope and love, to really grow in faith and hope and love, is the gift of the Holy Spirit to us. That is an essential piece. And I think what's happened over the centuries, I don't think I know what's happened over the centuries, is that we go through the process of being catechized and prepared for the sacrament of confirmation. But do we really understand that this is not just a ceremony? That it is a reality, it is an impartation of God's Spirit to us so that we can truly become His disciples. But we always, as I so often say, we always have free will. And we can choose to reject, and we can choose to ignore, and we can choose to scoff and to ridicule. But that in no way takes away the reality of the gift. It's just that we're not using it. So I want to talk somewhat about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the main gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord. And I'm just going to, over the next couple of weeks, periodically take one of those gifts and explain just very briefly what it is that God has offered you. But it sits in you like a seed until you water it and cultivate the soil. So having said that, let's just take a look at the first gift, wisdom. It is a light which we receive from on high. It is a special sharing in that mysterious and highest knowledge, which is that of God Himself. We become aware. We have a knowledge that's permeated by love, by means of which the soul becomes familiar, so to say, with divine things and tastes them. St. Thomas Aquinas speaks precisely of a certain taste of God through which the truly wise person is not simply one who knows the things of God, but rather the one who experiences and lives them. Let me repeat that. Wisdom is a sharing. It's a sharing in the very life of God. It's a sharing that gives us a new awareness, a knowledge permeated by charity, by means of which the soul becomes familiar with divine things and tastes them. I'm repeating that because I want you to really hear it. And then Thomas says, we receive a certain taste of God through which the truly wise person is not simply one who knows the things of God, but rather the one who experiences and lives them. Do you know that gift is in you? It may be dormant, but it's in you. Ask the Holy Spirit, I desire to live in the gift of wisdom that you have given me. Teach me. I urge you to read my book, if you haven't, More of the Holy Spirit. And if you have read it again, because it's not a book intended to give knowledge, though it does that. It's intended to open the doors for you. You have free will. You can choose, but to open the doors for you to see what God offers you in the gift of wisdom. Much more to be said about that, but right now we turn to the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Brothers and sisters, as your fellow workers, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And that's what can happen with us. We don't activate it. You always have a free will, remember. We appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We cause no one to stumble in anything in order that no fault may be found with our ministry. On the contrary, in everything, we commend ourselves as ministers of God through much endurance in affliction, hardships, constraints, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, vigils, fasts, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness in the Holy Spirit, in unfeigned love, in truthful speech, in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness at the right and the left, through glory and dishonor, insult and praise. We are treated as deceivers and yet are truthful. We're treated as unrecognized and yet acknowledged. We're treated as dying, and behold, we live, as chastised, but not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet enriching many, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. All the nothings were all the in that description there. What he's referring to is how life can seem on earth. And yet he says none of these things are true because we live in Christ, with Christ, for Christ. And that's what God has for you. It's just that he gave you, it's quite a gift, he gave each of us the gift of free will. I can choose to ignore. I can choose to scoff. I can choose to turn away. Or I can say, Lord, if you gave me the gift of a relationship with you, will you help me? And then spend time before the Blessed Sacrament. Spend time every day reading Scripture. Spend time. It's, quote, work that you need to do so totally outweighs the result that you will be amazed you didn't do it 20 years ago. Give yourself over to the Lord. Put your trust in him. He will never force his gifts on you, but they're there for you. It doesn't depend on personality. It doesn't depend on health. It doesn't depend on how many past sins, as long as you've asked for forgiveness. None of those things matter. It's that God loves you infinitely and wants a deeper relationship with you. Will you open your heart to that? And the gospel for today, the gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 42. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow." Now, there's very good human advice there. But what God is really communicating to us through these simple examples, what he's communicating to us is that when he lives in us, we know more and more that our life is not our own. We were bought with a price. Identification with Jesus Christ puts you on a whole new level in life. It does. It honestly does. But the choices need to be made one by one. The decisions to turn away from sin, to help at least those sins to begin to lessen, if not be obliterated. And something that's implied here in this Gospel of Matthew, this section, verses 38 to 42, something's implied here, which is forgiveness. He says, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. In other words, brothers and sisters, we're called to forgive. And you say, well, there's certain things I can forgive, but there are other things I can't forgive. Is that what Jesus said about you or about your family members whom you love or about other people in your life that are important to you? What if God said that to you? Well, I can't. I really don't want to forgive today, or what you've done is too bad. I can't forgive you. Would God say that to you? Never. Never. And what the Lord is saying to us is, love one another as I love you. I've said this before, but I say it again. The single biggest obstacle, apart from egregious sin, the biggest obstacle to receiving the grace of God, that is God sharing himself with us, the single biggest obstacle is unforgiveness across the world. And you and I know that some sins committed against us, you say it's impossible for me to forgive. And it probably is. But if you turn to the Lord and say, Lord, give me grace, it doesn't mean that what they did doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that. It means that you're going to free them from the yoke of unforgiveness, just as Jesus did for us. Jesus looked at us, and he didn't say, sorry, that's too big, I can't forgive. He didn't say that. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. He forgives, forgives, forgives. And that's what you and I are called to. But you can't do it on your own strength. Our own inferior sense of justice would say, this is unfair, unfair. But brothers and sisters, it makes us more like Christ. Even if the person we're forgiving mocks us, says, huh, well, you can do whatever you want. And they mock us. I've seen that. I've witnessed that. But if you in your heart decide to forgive, that does not mean that what they did to you was unimportant. But like Jesus, no matter the sins, no matter the ways in which we have sinned against him, he chooses to forgive that we might have eternal life. And God dwells in you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to manifest himself and reveal himself through you in myriad kinds of ways. Don't decide what that way is going to be. You give your life to the Lord. You forgive others when they offend you. You keep the communication line and the door wide open to Jesus. And you watch how he uses you. You'll be amazed. It'll be little. It's not that there are trumpet blasts and drum rolls. It's quiet. But each time you sense his nearness and you know that you're not alone. You know that you are truly a son or daughter of God. God gave you of his Spirit. And he gives you his body and blood that we might become more and more and more like him. Open your heart. Read the catechism, read the scripture, and ask God to bring light into your life. God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.